This is the second response podcast for The Hypnotist by Lars Kepler. I'm going to be looking at a quotation on page 294 in your book, if you would like to follow along. Although, really, to be completely on the level with you, I'm going to actually be discussing kind of a longer section of the novel at this point, but it starts on 294. This is at the end of the chapter. It's the end of chapter number 74. And this is where Eric has been kind of reflecting on Ava Blau and his kind of involvement with her. He's still thinking over this. If you listen to the first podcast, the first response podcast first, we talked about the beginning of that when he sees the magazine stuck to the desk and realizes, oh, it could be Ava who took Benjamin. So this is kind of continuing that section of the novel. But the quote that I want to look at, or at least start by looking at, begins, "It was 8:30 in the morning. The sun was pouring in through the dusty windows. I'd been on call overnight, and I'd slept in my office," he thinks. And that's the end of the chapter. And then we flip to page 295, and it says 10 years ago, instead of the usual chapter, 74 or whatever. And there's no date on it like there has been in the previous chapters. "It was 8:30 in the morning. The sun was pouring in through the dusty windows. I'd slept in my office after night duty. I felt tired, but I was packing my gym bag anyway." And there's a repetition of the quote that ends the previous chapter at the beginning of the next chapter. And I think what's more important here, and I'll draw your attention on 294, the part where it said, "I'd been on call overnight and I'd slept in my office," he thinks, is not in quotations, which is the standard way of punctuating a character's thought in a kind of modern English novel. That's just sort of how we do this. Excuse me. And then we have the same first-person thought repeated on the next page until it continues, because it ends on chapter, the ending of chapter 74 is, "I'd slept in my office, comma, he thinks." And then we get that same quote, and it goes on, "After night duty, I felt tired, but I was packing my gym bag anyway." What I want to draw your attention to here is that we have a kind of major moment of transition in this novel at this point, because suddenly we go from what's called a third-person narration, and third-person narration refers to the narrative voice that the author uses within a novel. So novels in English, we have first-person, second-person, and third-person, and that can be singular and plural. And usually novels are either written in first-person singular or third-person singular. They're occasionally written in second-person singular, but that becomes very weird to read. And it usually means that either the novel is, if it's written in first-person, it's all, the voice of the narrator is, "I did this, then I did that, then this happened to me." And it's like someone telling you a story, because it's all about, "These things happened to me." Second-person is about, is where the speaker is talking about something that happened to the listener. So you do this, you do that, you do this other thing. And that you could see, hopefully, why second-person narration would be very off-putting in a novel. And then third-person narration is where it's about some other third person. So it's not the speaker, not the listener, but some other third person, obviously, hopefully, by the name of it. So he did this, she did that. Or you could do, if it was in plural, you could do, "They did this, they did that." And novels, as I said, are usually either written in third-person or first person. This novel, for the most part, is written in third-person singular narration. He did this, Simone did that, Eric did this. And then we have this shift on page 295, where we have this 10 years ago chapter that's in first-person singular. So, "I did this, I did that," and it's Eric narrating his own experiences of 10 years ago. And the other thing I think that's interesting about this flashback is not just the fact that they shift narrative perspectives from third person to first person, but that it's so much longer than all of the other chapters in the novel. Because one of the things that I think makes The Hypnotist kind of move forward with a sort of propulsive energy, even though a lot of it is about people not taking cell phone calls or kind of thinking in coffee shops or stuff, is because the chapters are all 2 to 3 pages long. And in fact, I've seen this pointed out in a number of places, and I think it's true, that one of the hallmarks of the kind of thriller genre is short chapters because that's how you make keep people interested. It's also one of the hallmarks of sort of a kind of lower aiming fiction. For instance, Robert Ludlum is very famous, or I guess was. I think he's dead. Anyway, he wrote the Bourne novels, so Bourne Identity, Bourne Supremacy, those. And he's very famous for writing very, very short chapters. And people say that one of the reasons this is important in popular literature is because it allows people to kind of read it on their lunch break or read it on their, on the train or something into work or whatever. So the idea is that short chapters mean that you can stop reading whenever, so you never have to stop in the middle of a chapter. So it allows you to read it in much smaller increments. And it's kind of one of the hallmarks of a sort of more popular aiming fiction rather than kind of a higher brow literary fiction. It's kind of one of the written signifiers that lets you know if you're reading a popular novel or a more serious-minded novel. And so this is the modus of the hypnotist. It writes these short chapters, 2 to 3 pages long, until we get to this flashback chapter, which is 75 pages long. And I think it's worth thinking about here. What do the authors want to accomplish by having this flashback? And why is it so much longer? I think it's an interesting question, and I'm not entirely sure what they're after with this flashback. Personally, I don't know how you all felt, but I found it to be a little bit of overkill because, you know, we knew Eric had done something to disgrace himself in the past as a hypnotist, and we knew he had done something to cause problems with his wife, and we knew all of these things about him, and at this moment in the novel, the authors chose to actually show us what he had done, even though they had consistently illuminated it in the course of the novel. So, you know, we knew by the way Simone and Eric interact that he cheated on her at some point in the past. And we know from the beginning, the way he talks about hypnosis, that he's in some way disgraced himself through his hypnosis research. And I think it's an interesting kind of thing to consider in this novel. Like, why do the authors feel the need to tell us all of this when we've already hopefully figured it out, especially in a detective novel, which is theoretically presupposes the ability to discover, like the readers are trying to figure out who it is and what's going on as well. So I think it's an interesting decision on their part. And something else you could choose to focus on in your responses would be trying to figure out what you think that this flashback is accomplishing. But again, you know, just suggesting some themes that interested me in this novel, not necessarily something you have to focus on. I'm sure you guys have other moments that you found interesting in this novel as well. I just think that the appearance of this very long chapter that's in a different narrative perspective signals in some way that the authors think this is important and it's worthy of consideration. That's another way to approach reading a text from a critical standpoint, is when you see something change, something that deviates from the norm of the text, you know that something interesting is going on. And this goes for novels, it goes for advertisements, for films, anything, any kind of cultural text you want to look at critically. When you see something that doesn't make sense or doesn't fit in the kind of established patterns, that's usually telling you it's interesting in some capacity. So I don't know necessarily what this flashback is hopefully going to accomplish, but I think it's worth looking at in the sense that it is one of these moments where the text deviates from its own norms. The chapter is much longer. It's written in a first-person perspective. So something else to consider about this book. I think it's an interesting moment in here. So hopefully you all will have something to say about this or not, if this isn't interesting to you. But do get your responses posted as soon as possible. And I look forward to seeing what you have to say.